Okay, we're starting at the top of Heyam and Aleph. Right now we're just going over, the Gemara brought down the position of Rav Oshia, which was that there were 13 Avot Nizikim. Then we had the position of Rav Chia, which there were 24 Avot Nizikim. So the question is, the differential between the two of them, why does Rav Oshia not hold up the position of Rav Chia? Why is he missing the additional 11 forms of Avot Nizikim? So the first differentiation that we made between them, as the Gemara laid out, is that Rav Oshia is only dealing with Mamona, it's only dealing with monetary matters, whereas Rav Chia is dealing with even Knas, right? Even things that are considered to be fine. The Gemara says, okay, that gets rid of a couple of things, but there are a number of items that are found in the list of Rav Chia that are still Mamon issues, and why aren't they included in the list of Rav Oshia? The first thing the Gemara asked about is Ganav v'Gazlan. Right, so the Gemara says that, well, we know Ganav v'Gazlan, or at least according to Rav Oshia, we know that already because that's the case of Shomer Chinam. Shomer Chinam is, the problem with the Shomer Chinam is that he steals the item that was given to him to watch. So that's already included or subsumed in the category of Shomer Chinam. The Gemara then says, why does Rav Chia differentiate? He says there's a difference on how he got the money. I mean, they're stealing when you, from the moment you've taken the object, it's taken out of someone else's possession, versus they're stealing by Shomer Chinam, which is that you got it, the object came into your possession in a permitted manner, and then afterwards you stole it or you took it. That was the first. The second thing the Gemara asked about was Edim Zomimim. Right, Edim Zomimim are Edim in Mamon. And if the Edim Zomimim are Edim in Mamon, why aren't they included in the list of Rav Oshia? So Gemara says, Rav Oshia holds like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that since they don't pay on their own admission, that's an indication that Edim Zomimim is actually a knas and not mamon. And if it's a knas, then it doesn't need to be included in the list of Rav Oshia. The Gemara says, well, if you want to hold like Rabbi Akiva, then Rabbi Akiva also has an additional position which would cause problems, which is before, on yesterday's daf we mentioned, right, there's a difference between Adam Amazik Adam versus Adam Amazik Shor. So Gemara also wants to differentiate between Shor Amazik Adam and Shor Shemazik Shor. The Gemara says there's no difference, it's the same halach. But that's actually not true by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva believes that the distinction between Tam and Mu'ad is only applicable by Shor that damages another Shor. But a Shor that damages an Adam, right, there is no such differentiation, and it's Mu'ad Mitchila. That as soon as a Shor touches an Adam, he pays full, right, the full amount from day one. So there is no differentiation from Tam Mu'ad. So that actually would add to you two categories of Shor. It'd be Shor that hurts a person, and Shor that hurts another Shor. And yet, we only have in our Mishnah, right, according to Rav Oshia, we only have one category of Shor. Why don't we have this additional category of Shor? Where it says, well, that's Tavrei Rabbi Akiva the Gizizeh. Rabbi Akiva broke or smashed his position. According to Rashi, it means that he reversed his position, that he did not have such a differentiation in Shor anymore. His proof is that we have a Brice where Rabbi Akiva says that a Shor that damages a Adam, right, has to pay migufo. He pays from his body. When he pays from his body, it means he pays from the worth of the animal. That's a din that's only applicable by Tam. Right, to pay out of the goof of the animal, that's a din in Tam. So we see that Rabbi Akiva reversed his position, and then he went back to saying that even by Adam, there's a differentiation between Tam and Mu'ad. If that's the case, then Shor that hurts a person and Shor that hurts a Shor are the same category, right? They're the same item, and there you don't need two times. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, says that how do you know that Rabbi Akiva changed his mind? We have one Mishnah, we have a Braisa. It's not clear that he actually changed his mind. But rather, Tosfos says that the mere fact that he pays me gufo, that the Shor, even though he pays full amount, it's mu'az mitchila by Adam, and he pays the full amount of damage, nevertheless, right, he has to pay me gufo, he pays out the value of the Shor. Paying out of the value of Shor and then eliminates it, or makes us unable to place that category in our Mishnah. Why? Because they are into this list. Because the Mishnah is going to continue later on and say that you pay Meitav Aretz, that you pay from the total, right, amount. Meitav Aretz means that I pay the full amount from the best of your property. So if I already pay for the best of my property the full amount, that's not, you can't say Migufo. That can't be a category that's included in our Mishnah, which is a category where Bikiva says I pay Shor Mu'az Mitchila by Adam, but nevertheless I only pay Migufo. And that's what makes it impossible to be in our mission. Now the Gemara continues. What about Ones, Umifateh, V'motzi Shemra? Right, we have Ones, Umifateh, and Motzi Shemra, all included in Rav Chia's list, but not included in Rav Oshia's list. Gemara says that the right, the mamonahu, those are monetary matters. Litnai. So Gemara says monafshach. Wait a minute. Let's see. What is the onus of fat to pay 50? Mostly Sharon pays 100. In nezek, what is he paying for? If he's paying for nezek, toni lek. We have nezek already included. Itzar, he's paying for the pain, toni lek. Iboshes, paying for the embarrassment, toni lek. Ibgam, hainu nezek. If you're talking about gam, that's subsumed under nezek. So my klum meimar. So what's the other choice? What's the din of onus v'fata motzi shemra? Well, then they're knas, right? If they're gonna cancel lo mayri, then we're not dealing with knas. So no matter what category you think onus v'fata motzi shemra fit into, or what you think the punishment's for, they're already included. We already have a category that includes these items. Now the Gemara says, v'ametamei, v'ametameya, v'menasech, dimimol nahu. Here are a case where you cause damage, right? Again, that is metamei, the truma of a kohen, or he mixes up the truma in chulin, or he's menasech, yayin, to avodah zarah. Dimimol nahu. Right, these are monetary damages that you have to replace. I mean, you're causing a monetary loss to the person, so why is that not included in the list of Rav Hoshea? Litnei. The Gemara says, v'onoshoch. He hezek sheno nikar shmei hezek, right? If hezek, these are all items where the hezek, the damage that is done, is not visible. When you metame truma, the truma looks the same beforehand and afterwards. It's just that what you have done, you've changed now the status, quote unquote, the spiritual status of the item. You've made it from truma to oras to truma to mea, which changes your ability to use it. But that's what's called hezek sheno nikar. That's damage that is not visible, although it is, right? It does cause damage in terms of value. So if you believe hezek sheno nikar shmei hezek is a full-fledged damage, hatani lei nezek, then it should be subsumed in the category of nezek. Hezek sheno nikar lo shmei hezek, havelei gansa. If you think that doing damage is not visible, right, or not obvious damage, is not, you don't mean that you don't nezek, you don't have to pay for it, then anything you do pay is gansa, right, because gansa lo kamari, and we're not dealing with knas, right, because if truthfully, hezek shenu kir is not called hezek, then in this case, you wouldn't be chayav to pay anything. Right? And now the fact that you're actually paying something is indicative that it is a knas. Now, truthfully, what is money?
How does it become terrorist? If you say that it's not hezek, then it would really just be a terrorism, no?
Rashi before says the reason that you say that mitameh menaseh and mitameh are avot nezikin is because they're written in the pasuk. How are they written in the pasuk? Because there's subcategories of nezek, or nezek mamon. So, right, if you say that they're knas and not mamon, right, then already they're not written in the Torah, and therefore they should not be avot nezikin. So, right, that would be by transferring them from nezek to nezek or mamon to knas, takes them out of the category of being an av, not only because it's a concept, but because now you don't have an explicit parts of the Torah to include them in. But your point is well taken, that if once you do that, you can't be an av nezikin, because it's not written in the Torah anymore, it's the Rabbonot, then it's not an av nezikin. Alright. So now the Gemara says, Leimar kazav Rav Chiya, hezek sheino nikar, lo shmei hezek. Let's say that Rav Chiya believes that hezek sheino nikar is not called a hezek, di shmei hezek, because if it really is called a hezek, hatani lei, right, then he already included under the category of nezek. Where it says, no, because you can have multiple categories of nezek. What is that? Tana hezek kata minkara. Tana hezek is a little minkara. These are two different types of categories of hezek. There's hezek that is obvious, right, and that is visible and obvious, and there's hezek that is not visible and obvious, and therefore they become two different categories of nezek. Now the Gemara says, Bishlama, this makes sense, Latana dido, and Latana minyona. Right, why does our Tana says there are both Arba Avot Nezikin? Why? The Mudei the Rabbi Hoshea, right? They exclude the case of Rabbi Hoshea who says there are 13. Rabbi Hoshea Tana Minyona, the Mudei the Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Hoshea says 13 because he wants to exclude the cases of Rabbi Chiya, which is 24. El Minyona the Rabbi Chiya, the Mudei Mai. Rabbi Chiya, which includes everything, right? What is he left over now? Why does he have to say there are 24? Implying that there's actually something he's not including in his list. What is he not including? He's included everything in his list. So Gemara says, no, the utei moser umifagel. Right, to include a case of moser. Moser is someone who tattles to the authorities, right, and therefore has, because of his tattling, the friend's money is taken away by the authorities or stolen by the authorities. So he has caused damage to his friend, right, through this being malshin, being speaking negatively about him to the authorities or to the avodat kochavim. And umifagel. Now mifagel or pigul in general is that the Kohanim, right, were mifagel. You know, the Kohanim bring carbonotes for the Israelim, and when they were bringing the carbonotes, they had a machshava, they had an improper thought, but they said, we're going to have this, we're going to eat this, chutz lizmano, right, outside of the time frame in which it should have been eaten, or we're going to mock it with the intent of eating it outside of the time frame that it should be eaten. So that is pigul. Again, so that is not included in his list. Now, so that's the simple explanation of mifagel. Rashi over here, right, says something interesting. He says, umifagel is Kohen Sheshachat Karbanot Shel Yisrael Chatat L'Shum Shlomim. The Mifagel over here is a Kohen who shechts the carbon of a Yisrael Chatat, he brought it as a Chatat, instead of bringing it as a Chatat, he brings it as a Shlomim. And so therefore, the carbon is a good carbon, right, but it's not Ola L'Chova for that Chatat. This poor individual needed a Chatat, and he doesn't have a Chatat anymore. But that's not the classical explanation of what mefagel is. Pigul deals with chutzli zmano. It's a makshuba chutzli zmano. I'm just pointing it out because it's a strange explanation. Rashi doesn't go with the typical explanation of pigul. Right? There are achronim that deal a little bit with Rashi, the Bnei Yeshua, and others that describe it or discuss it. But just so you be aware that Rashi has this strange explanation of pigul over here. So the Gemara says, vilitnei. Why not include moser mefagel? I mean, that Rav Chiya's extensive list includes everything else. Why should he exclude these items? So Mar says, Vishlo mefagel bekochim kolokamari. Mefagel, he didn't add in because we're not dealing with kochim. Kochim is a category that we just don't deal with. And since we're not dealing with the kochim, let's leave that out. Ella, moser, my time, alo, Tony. Why does moser not included in the list? Shani moser, didibura. Right? That moser, the whole damage is caused by his speaking. He doesn't do any action. All he does is go over to the authorities and, right, spill, you know, or tell them something about this individual, and that causes the loss. He doesn't physically do anything. So he says, we're not dealing with that. We're dealing with damage that has to do with some sort of action taken by the individual. Right? So that could have also excluded mefagel, right, which is that he's not taking any action over here. Right? He's only doing something in his mind. But it's all makshava, chutz lizmano. Right? That might have been, I don't know, maybe that's what drove Rashi to differentiate between chata, this type of pigul over here, because Mar didn't exclude it from a makshava, right? It rather has to do with something that he's... Right, exactly, but changing it from a shlomim to a chatat, although he still has to have in mind. I mean, yeah, there's no...
The question is, maybe is there a difference like in the chatat?
Yeah, there is, so, right. Yeah. A chatat has four dam on top, and shlomim has shtayim shein arba. So maybe that's why Rashi was driven to say that's an action that he changed rather than a machshava, because otherwise, why don't the Gemara just exclude it from the case over here? Right. Wait a minute. You think Zibur is not included? What about Moshe Shemra? What's the case of Moshe Shemra? He comes to Bezin and says that this woman that you gave to me, right, loyal up to Tulim. Right? So that's all a statement. That's a statement. There's no action over here. Where it says, Tani Dibura. Where it says, no. And it's written. So Gemara says, Dibura, the Yisrei Maisehu, that's a Dibura that also has a Maiseh involved with it. I mean that he has that Bia with a woman, right? And therefore there's a Maiseh involved that generates the Dibura. But, right, so therefore over here you don't have, right, in our case it's simply Dibura. He does nothing besides Dibura. And therefore that's a different category. That's outside the realm of the categories he's dealing with. Gemara says, well, Vahidim Zomim Dibura, the Yisrei Maisehu. What about Edim Zomimim? Edim Zomimim is a case where there is no action. All they do is come to court and say, this person did something wrong, this person stole money, right? This person owes this person money. They're just testifying. All they're doing is saying a Dibur. Tani Hossam, Afagav, Delayed Say, oh, Vitani, I'm sorry, I keep doing that. Vitani, and it's still written, where it says, Hossam, Afagav, Delayed Say, Maseh, even though there is no action, Rachmono, Kariye, Maseh. Even though it's not really a maaseh, nevertheless the Torah signs it the equivalent, or as if it is a maaseh. Right? Dichtiv, v'asitim lo, kasher zamam la'asot le'achiv. Right? That you have to do to them. Right? Kasher zamam la'asot le'achiv. Like he planned to do to his friend, and therefore it's called a maaseh. It's not simply, even though it's a dibor, that dibor is, right? That dibor is assumed or being held to be equivalent of a ma'aseh. We had this again in the Gemara in Kiddushin with regards to Tum'ah. Right? Actually, the Kabbalah Tum'ah, there the Gemara says also that the Torah uses the term ma'aseh, and therefore calls something that is not necessarily a ma'aseh, changes it into a ma'aseh, and that's why you can't undo Tum'ah. When you're metame something, right? Or the machshava is tuma, right? The Torah classifies it as that machshava is the equivalent of a maaseh. So the equivalent of a maaseh, you can't undo it with simply another machshava or simply a dibur. You need another maaseh to undo it. Again, even though the action or the thing that you did was not a maaseh, the fact that the Torah calls it a maaseh already changes its status to be the equivalent of what would be a maaseh. So it's over here. The Torah, even though the Eidim Zomimim don't do any maaseh, nevertheless, since the Torah calls it, right, since they call it a maaseh, then its status is elevated to that of a maaseh, as if they did it. Right, that's right. The Shem's Machshava is Elon Aster. Right, very good. Alright, so now Bishlama. It's worth doing that Tosos. Alright, there happened to be a Tosos in the previous Omo that I didn't mention at the time. The Tosos that's important in Makos, not really dealing with our Sugi over here, but it's an important Tosos. And that there's a principle in Eidim Zomimim. Right, the principle in Eidim Zomimim is that only Kashir Zamam Lasos. Only if they are caught when they're in the planning stages, meaning that once they testify, right, but the action has not been carried out yet. Once the action has actually been carried out, meaning that their testimony caused a din to be nivda, then we say the Eidim Zomim are p'turim, meaning that we don't prosecute the Eidim Zomim in that case. Because it's kashir zamam, as they planned, right, v'lashasa, not as they did. Right, so if that's the case, right, then over here, where do you actually have monetary damages? I mean, they're calling Eidim Zomim as monetary damages. What type of monetary damage do they ever do? They never actually do any damage because it's always kasher zamam, as they planned to do, not as they did. So they never actually end up causing a loss. They're attempting to cause a loss, but never do cause a loss. So how can you call this mamon or an action? So Tosafot in Makos brings this famous shita, and over here he mentions that the Balei HaTosafot, two Balei HaTosafot, actually had different opinions about why it is, but the differentiation in Eidim Zomim between mamon and the fashot. That actually, when it comes to mamon, monetary damage by Eidim Zomimim, it's not just because there's a mom, but it's even a shir kai shir asah. Even if you do the action, even if the din is over, right, then there's still chayav. The Eidim Zomimim are still chayavim. As opposed to nefashot, if the din is carried out, they are turim. What's the difference between mamon and nefashot? Why is it by mamon when they, what they do, is or even considered to be chayavim, and by nefeshot it's not. So that's one answer. First answer you thought like the riva, very good. So Tosafot the riva brings down the afilu shileim al piyedim zomim chayim to lo sheyach mamon kasher zamam lo kasher asad efshar b'chazara. Right, as David says that the whole idea of kasher zamam versus lo kasher asad is that if you kill someone or if you give someone a physical punishment, a corporal punishment, that is impossible to retract. So therefore, once they've asad, it's no longer planned. Mamon, whether in the planning stages or in the done stages, mamon can always be returned, it always can be reversed. Since that can always be reversed, then it's always, in a sense, kasher zamam lo kasher asah. That's the position of the Riva. On the other hand, the Ri believes, and this is the sheet that he brings in Tosus in Makos also, is that we have a general principle of Einon Shim Min Adin, that we do not give punishment from a Kal V'Chomer. Can't punish me Kal V'Chomer. That principle of Einon Shim Min Adin is only applicable by Dinei Nefashot, by, right, corporal or capital punishment, but it's not true by Dinei Mamonos. Now, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says that, Kasher Zamam Lasos. We're going to punish them from what they plan to do. Right? So, we say, Kasher Zamam, Velo Kasher Asa. Why not Kasher Asa? It should be a Kal V'Chomer. If we're going to punish them for the planning stage, then we certainly punish them if the din is actually carried out. Problem is, Ein Onshin Min Adin. Can't be Onshin Min Adin. Where is that principle applicable? Only by corporal and capital punishment. By Mamon, there is a principle of Onshin Min Adin. If that's the case, then not only Kashir Zamam, we can have a Kal V'Chomer that if they're punished for Kashir Zamam, they're also punished for Kashir Asa, right, as they did. That's the difference between Mamon and the Fashot, is this principle of Onshin Min Adin. So because of that, either because of the position of the Riva or the position of the Ri, we actually have Eidim Zomimim be a din in Mamon here. Why? Because they could have the din be done. They could have finished the din, had the money paid, and they caused real monetary damage. If they did real monetary damage, they're no longer kasher zamam. That's because my Mamon, we punish even for kasher asah, even if the din is carried out. Why? Because according to the Riva, it's always reversible, so it's always in the category of kasher zamam in a sense. Or because of the Ri's position, which is Onshin Min Adin. Gemara says, Vishlamala Tana Didan, according to our Tana Avot, Michal the Ika Toldos. Right? Our Tana says there are arba avos in Zikin, and we went through all the toladot. I mean, we went through Karen, Shane, Adam. We found out all the toladot of these items. Hello, Rav Chiyuv, Rav Yoshi, avot michal deika toladot. Right? There are avot, but means or implies that there's such thing as a toladot. Right? Toladam, my ninu. Where are the toladam? Like when you have Shomer Chinam. What's the told of Shomer Chinam? Onus Mefatet. What's the told of Onus Mefatet? These are categories or areas that don't really have derivatives. They are a category that exists solely, right, and doesn't have any other sub-categories that are involved with it. So how come you have a classification called a avot, okay, which implies there are toladot, if there are no such thing called toladot over here? So Amarevo kulan ke avot l'shalem mimetav. This is what Tosus mentioned above. That you have to pay the shalemi meitav, that they're all a vote. What does a vote mean? That they all pay out of the meitav. Meitav means the best of your property. I mean that you have to pay meitav ha'aret, and you have to pay from, I mean if you want to pay compensate with land, you don't pay, you have to pay from your best land. And number two, it's so said before, that means you're paying full nezek. You're paying the complete nezek over here. So that implies, right, that the avot, the reason for these avot is to tell you that you pay for meitav aret. Now Tosus points out, okay, but is that not true by toladot? I mean, toladot, you also have to pay me meitav aret, and you also have to pay full amount. So why is that? Why? How can you say that these are avot, right, and not toladot? So Tosus says, of your apagav, the toladot, the avot, the matnitza mishalmi, nami meitav, mikom makom, hani, ilav, the queen and le avot, lo abi yadade mishalmi meitav. These items, if they were not called avot, it would not have been obvious to us that they pay me meitav aret. It says the other categories of these other toladot, which are subcategories, right, they would be obvious that you pay me meitav aret because they are subcategories of a bigger category. These other areas, it's not so clear to us that you pay me meitav aret because it's not explicitly written by each one of these items. And since it's not explicitly written, we have to learn it out, my time off. We have to learn it out from Xerushava Achya Tachat Nitina Yishalem and Kesef. These words all appear in the Arba Avot Nizikin. Since they appear in the Arba Avot Nizikin, then we learn a Gzeira Shava from Shane and Regal, where it's actually explicit, right? Explicit in the Pesukim, where it says by Shane and Regal, the Pasuk says, right, this is in Mishpat, in Perach Chav Bet, right, Pasuk Dalet, Ki Aver Ish Sadeo Chem, Mishalach Biro, Bir B'Sei Acher, Meitav Sadeo, U'Meitav Karmo Yishalem. So there is the indication that it's to pay Mimeitav Aret. Then we have the connection between all the avot nizikin because of that, the four avot nizikin, because then you have Karen and Bor that are included under that category. So once Karen and Bor are included under the category of Shane and Regel, once you have all those four, then we can learn out from them to all other areas. Well, all other areas are through Xer Shavu of the word Kesef, Yishalem, Netina, and Takat. You want Rashi goes through it, and I'll just point out quickly which each one of them, which category, not the subcategories or how we learn it out, but each one has a head category. The word tachat, right, we learn out from the word tachat by Shor Muad. Right, by Shor Muad, it says that, oh, here it is, in Pasuk, Perachapala, Pasuk, Lamed, Vav, Onoda, Kishar Garnach, Kumit, Moshe, Shom, Lishmeno, Balav, Yishalim, Shalim, Shor, Tachat, Ashor, Vameit, Iyeh, Lov. So there's the word tachat, so that's for any place else that we need the word tachat, we can use it. Nitina, right, is from the word, we learn nitina, mitina, meshor, shenagach et ha'eved. Right, this is like an area we haven't spoken about, but there's also a punishment, if a shor goes out and kills an eved, right, then you have to pay shloshim, so what's called shloshim shel eved, and that shloshim has the word nitina in it, because here, parak of aleph, pasuk lamed bet, im evi gach ha'shor, oma, kezer shloshim, shkalim, itain, laduna, bashri sakel, itain, there is the lashon nitina. Yishalim, we learn out of Shane and Regel, because it says, Meitav Karmo, Meitav Tadeo, Meitav Karmo, Yishalim. Right? And Kesef, we learn out from Bor, because by Bor it says, Kesef Yashiv Le Va'alav. Right? So the puzzle by Bor, it says, by Parachapal, the puzzle again, with Hitzach Yishbor, Bechre Yishbor, Le Yechsenu, Nechol Shorosh Ochomor, Balabor Yishalim, Kesef Yashiv Le Va'alav. So all of these have these four words. From these four words, Rashi spends time and goes through all them to match up all these. Now the Gemara goes, alright, how do we explain, right, the rest of our Mishnah? Right, our Mishnah says that we could not learn out, right, the avot, nizikin, one from the other. So it says, lari ashur, kirei maveh. And the shore is not, right, we can't learn out maveh from the shore. My kamar. What does that mean? Right, why can't you learn out maveh from shore? Amar Zid Mishmei the Rav Achik Amar Lichtov Rav Manachado. But say Yidach Minei. When we say Lo Harei Ke Harei means if we have one, we can't learn the other out. So Achado Amar Achado Mechado Atzio. Then it says okay, fine. We can't learn one from one. Now let's try one from two. So that's the Gemara says you can't do that. Why? Below Bezev Bezev Sheish Ben Ruach Chaim. Right, that they are live, or they are moving items. So what do we have? We have four categories in the Mishnah. What are the four categories in the Mishnah? It depends according to Rav and Shmuel. But we have a category called Shur. Right, we have a category called Mabeth. Right, we have a category called what? Bor. Well, Bor is the last one. We have a category of Bor, and we have a back category called Esh. Right, so the Shur and Mabeth are both alive. So therefore, you couldn't take those two and put them together and learn anything out from them. Why? Because you have animate objects, and then you have Bor and Esh, which are inanimate objects. So you couldn't learn out from, you couldn't learn out Esh and Bor from Shor and, right, and Mavet. So my Gamar, says the Amar of Shar Shemish Meid Rabach, Gamar Lichto, right, Rachmana Tarte. Let's learn two. V'itete Yidach Minayu. Right, so the Gemara says, Adar Amar, Chadami Tarte Lo Asya. So that we are unable to bring one from two. Then the Gemara says, why don't we try one from three? What was one from three? If we take Shor, Maveh, and Heber, if we take Shor, Adam, and Esh, all of those, we try to go take those three and we'll learn Bor out from them. Why can't we learn Bor out from those three? Because those three have a common theme, which is they all move. When they do damage, they're moving, right? Not that in the sense that they're animate because they're alive, but because they do their damage moving away. The Bor is stationary. We can't learn out Bor from them. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute, I have a way to learn out all the Avos Nezikin, which is now Rava's statement, Amar Rava, Kekulu, Kishadit, Bor, Binayu, Achekulu, B'me'atza, Dabar, Mikeren. If you take Bor and any one of the other Avot, right, then you can learn everything else out from it, except for Keren. So if I took, for instance, Bor and Shor, if I combine those two together, then I could learn, or Bor and Chain, I could learn out everything else from them, Bor or Regel, learn out everything else from them except for Karen. If I took Bor and Karen, then I'd be learning out everything, so then Karen written, and then I'd be able to learn out Esh and all the other in Regel, be able to learn out from them. Or if I take Bor and Esh, I'd be able to learn out everything from it. Why? Because what's the Pircha? Let's go through the differences in the Pircha. Bor, yeah, it's a very long Rashi. I don't think we're going to do the whole thing. I'll just point out to you, he goes through the methodology for doing it for each one. So let's take Bor. What is the uniqueness or unique aspect of Bor? The big aspect of Bor is that Chilat Asiyato LeNezek, basically. That its whole, its original creation is created that it's going to cause Nezek. I mean, it's in Rishut Rabim, you think of a pit in Rishut Rabim, right? It's all of its creation is Chilat Asiyato LeNezek. So if I take that, any one of the other categories is not such. I mean, that we don't say that by Shor Maveresh, we don't say Chilat Asiyato LeNezek. So if that's the case, they can offset, right, the category or that point in every other item. The other item, right, had what was their maila, right? Their maila was either darkan lahazik, right, that they move, right, that they, not darkan, but they do damage when they're in movement, right? So Bor can offset that side of the category, because Bor is the one object that does not move, right? Or, now if you go in each category, each category has unique aspects to it, like shame. It's hanala zekot. And you get Hanel when it does Hezek. Regel is Mitsuya, right? So in these items, Karen, right, is Kavanato the Hazik. So each one of those Chumros, right, each one of them can be offset by Bor, because Bor does not have that side. I mean, Bor doesn't have the side of Hanel Hezeko, doesn't have the side of the Derech Hiliko, it doesn't have the aspect of Kavanato the Hazik. So all three of those are not part of Bor, so Bor can offset. If you take the side of Shaveh Shaveh, then you can learn out each of those items from that. So you need
either Bor nor Esh is Rafaim.
Right?
Either Bor nor Esh is
Rafaim.
Right.
But that's a Kula. Remember, that's a Kula. I mean, the Gemara thought that if I had Ruach Chaim, that's why they'd be damaging. They were animate objects, was more reason to make them Chayav. I couldn't learn out inanimate objects from animate objects. But if I had inanimate objects, then certainly animate objects would be Chayavim. I mean, it's the other way around.
Why should I be responsible for something that is for an animal, right, which has Ruach Chaim, where I'm less able to control it?
Not exactly your question, but that's the question about Vim Delmar, Heikha Atakulu Me'eshu Bor, how can you learn all of them out of Eshu Bor? Mala Eishu Borsh came Maftav Garmerlo, that his actions caused this to happen. I mean, that's somewhat of what you're suggesting, meaning that it's not,
it's not
your money or possession that's doing damage, but something that you actually did that now is creating the damage.
Isn't there an element of that?
I think Value wanted to ask that also. Why is an Eish mean Tchilato? But it's not. Eish is not created to do damage. I mean, Eish has very positive aspects.
Even
if
it's positive, something burning. Fire,
right, but I wouldn't say that's not made for nezek. It's not created for damage. It's created for positive terms. I mean, that poor b'shuter abim has no. I mean, you have no right to do that, basically.
Right.
And he doesn't.
Yeah.
Right, you're creating, like putting a big pothole in the middle of the street. That's something that you just can't. I mean, there's just no way to get around the fact that that's just a bad situation. Right, as eish when you put it in, and when it's properly, you know, contained and controlled, then that's fine. All right, now kitzfaris v'kaman gabi bor mitzgadil v'eish nami matzav garmen lo shizli kaish v'shomar. So lo koshiv eish matav garmalo. Eish cannot be considered that your actions created it. Kevin sharuach misayo, because the wind helps you to move along. So if that's the case, right? Then, right? You have a case where it's not your matzim, but actually some exogenous factor that's causing the damage to happen. So
that should be compared to
An animal that goes out and does its own on its own volition. So it's somewhat, I think, somewhat up with your alley that the animation of the object, not necessarily the animator or inanimate. So you could say, what about Born Adam? Right, how can you say Born Adam is also Mites of Garmala? The same thing. I mean, that's different than, like you're suggesting, different than money, your money doing damage versus you and your boar doing damage, which are both your actions that are creating the damage. Again, it says that you can learn it out from a person that's sleeping. Remember, we said a person that's sleeping, so there it's massive garmalo is, again, that's something that is, or something that he falls off the roof, he was blown off the roof, the person. For Adam is a massive.
Don't come here. You're sleeping.
Right. So that's the idea that you could be doing damage, not in an active manner where it's massive garmalo, but rather that while you sleep, there's certain things that a person does, right, involuntary, right, actions. All right, so now, based on that, we can learn everything out except for Karen. Why can't we learn that? If you have boar and Karen, then there's no question. But why, if you have boar and Adam, boar and Eish, boar and Shane Rego, why can't we learn out Karen? What's the problem with Karen? Mishum de Ikalamim, Rosh HaGemara says, we can bust off that problem. My Lekulush came Mu'adim Mitzchilatan. Right, all other damages outside of Karen are Mu'ad Mitzchilat. You pay Nezek Shalem from the first moment. Right, so now, if that's the case, then Karen's always an exception. I mean, you could always say Karen is not included here. We couldn't learn Karen because Karen is Tam, Mitzchilatom. Ulamanda Amar Adrabo, Karen Adifa Shikavan Azola Azik. Right, according to the one who says that what Karen's even better because it has intent to do damage. Right, so if that's the case, Kavan Azola Azik makes it even more of a Chumra. If it's more of a Chumra, then you have a Kavan Chumra now. Then I feel Karen Nami Asya, then you can learn out Karen. Right, who says that? Rashi says both Parish Heicha. He doesn't know who his opinion is. That says Karen's a Difa. Right, we have different people argue. The Hagos of Grah says it was on the previous Amud when we talked about Karen being something exceptional because of Kavanat Olah Azik. That was on the previous Amud. That's who he's talking about. And Tosfos also
explains differently than Rashi that what it means Shekain Muadim Etchilatam doesn't mean that what I just said before that he pays Nezek Shalem. That you pay full nezek by all the other nezikim versus by shore where you pay chatzin nezek mitchilato. That's what there's tam. Rather explains the difference. What does it mean? Shekem muadim mitchilatam. It means or finish rabbeinu tam. The muadim mitchilatam. The muadim mitchilam is hanusher darkam lahazik. It's a normal. This is the normal course. This is their way. This is their nature. It's to do damage. This is not true. Mashen came with Karen. That's not true of Karen. The stam shvarim becheskat shimur kaimi. In general, Shvarim are considered to be guarded or domesticated animals, and they won't damage in that way. And therefore, why do you pay chatzi nezek? It's only a knas. It's a knas just to ensure that the baal is on top of the situation. But mina Torah or mina din, you really should have been put to the gamri, because most shvarim are considered to be guarded or domesticated, and therefore there's no additional obligation on you to place extra watching. It's only a knas that we associate with them. Therefore, there is another opinion for the Ron in the Gemara that says no, that the nezek of tam is actually mimona. It's really money. Truthfully, you should be chayav for the whole amount. The Torah was chasalecha. The Torah had rachamim on you and said that you only have to pay for half of it. But according to Pinyin, who says that palga niska mamona, that it's mamon, he believes that what? It is darkul hazik. That in general, a shore does have that derech lahazik, and therefore there really was an obligation on you to watch the shore. The Torah had rachamim on you because, right, maybe it's still something more unusual, even though it's dark and hazik, but this, the way it did it, was something more unusual. So therefore, the Torah had rachamim on you. So the opinion here, who believes, right, that kavatanan hazik over here, is the opinion who believes that palga nizka mamona, that the one who holds that it's really mamon, that the payment of tam is something because it is kei muadim l'tchilatam, because they are muadim l'tchilatam, and it is derech for them to do damage.
So why did the Torah write Arba Avot Nizikin? If you could learn them all out, then what are they written for? The Hilchotayim. To the unique halachot that are applicable to each category. What's that? Karen, the Kalik Ben Tam of the Muad. Karen is unique in that there's a differentiation between the din of Tam and the din of Muad. So therefore, we have to write Karen to distinguish, make that distinguishment. Shein Berega, Lo Potram Bishut Rabin. Shein Berega are only Biar B'Sei Acher. Only if you go into someone else's field that you chayav in Rishut Rabim, where it's a normal place for the animal to go, then you have to expect such damage. There you are, to rim. Bor is the store bo et ha kelim. Bor is to come to teach you that, what, that in the bor, your potor mi kelim. Right? Bor, truthfully, we don't need, because bor is one of the items that we need to learn out everything else from. So bor has to be there. I mean, a bor is necessary in order to learn all the others out, but agav orche, they brought down also that they have shorvel adam, Chamor, below kelim. We'll get to these limudim later on in the Gemara. Well, Rabbi Yehuda, the mechayev on nizkei kelim. Rabbi Yehuda says that you're still chayev on kelim. What's the differentiation? But it says, before, the store bo at Adam. Again, they exclude Adam from the case of Bor. Adam, what's the din of Adam? The chayevo bar ba'ad dvarim. To tell you that not only you chayev for nezek, but the additional four dvarim of, right, of Boshet, Ripuy, Shebet, and Tar. Right, all of those four items. Eish. What's the unique case of Eish? We store bo at tamun. That if something's buried, if you burn something that's not visible, I mean, like you have a big pile of grain, and inside of it you stuck some treasures, though you're not chayav for those treasures, something that's buried inside of the Eish, only things that are visible are you chayav for. Rabbi Yehuda is mechayav on this case, tamun, which is the famous sheet of Rabbi Yehuda later on, who disagrees and says you are even chayav for things that are buried inside. So, be'esh latuye mai, what's the unique aspect of Eish? Is latuye lichchag neiro sitchchag vanav. That your chayav, even for causing damage, which is surface damage, if it goes along, if he burns, something burns along the field and singes the rocks in the field, or burns the surface of the ground in which you want to plant and causes damage that way, in those instances, you'll be chayav, even though normally that's not considered to be, it's sort of like a superficial damage, right? There, you would consider it. Hey, it's just superficial damage. It's not real damage to the land. You can turn over the dirt. You can move it. You can clean up the stones. They're not totally consumed. They're not consumed. The fire doesn't consume them. It just singes the top of them. So you can turn over the dirt. You can clean off the rocks if you really had to. Nevertheless, you still chayav in these instances for that damage that Ish does. Okay, we'll stop over here.